Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. From AT&T Park in San Francisco, we've got a great podcast lined up for you right before the Giants take on the Washington Nationals in the final game of the three-game series. The Giants are looking for a sweep. And today we're going to talk pitching with the pitching coach, Kurt Young, closer, Hunter Strickland, and we're going to hear from Giants manager, Bruce Bochy. Also, our special guest will be Kerry Crowley from the Bay Area News Group. Let's start by hearing from the closer of the Giants, Hunter Strickland. Lately has been saving one game after another. He's got five saves already this season. He took over as the closer when Mark Melancon went down just before the season began. Here's a conversation I had just outside the Giants dugout with Hunter Strickland. Hunter, this season has started out so great for you. Tell us a little bit about, you know, just coming into it, the confidence level that you had. And I know you made some changes. It was pretty well documented working with John Smoltz. How much is that paying off?
I think tremendously. You know, I feel a lot more confident with the off speed, you know, pretty much in any count. So I think that plays a huge part. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is the confidence, you know, just going out there and taking one pitch at a time and, you know, trying to get the job done the best of your ability.
I noticed the other day, I mean, you didn't fret. You walked the leadoff guy. You fell behind 3-0. I think it was one out, but you still came back in the count there. How do you bear down more in these situations maybe than you did in the past?
I mean, I think it's just, you know, learning from the experiences. You know, just reminding myself when I'm out there that I've been in this situation before, you know, not to let the game speed up in any way, you know, to, you know, at the end of the day, it's still the game is on my time whenever I throw the ball. So, you know, just concentrate on each pitch at a time, not let the moment get too big and just, you know, focus on that.
You know, you got a great arm, so you're always going to throw hard. There were times where I wondered, is he trying to overthrow it? Do you maybe back off of it a little bit to hit your spots, to try to pitch, you know, on the corners or wherever you need to go?
I mean, I do think in the past I have, you know, had some times where I did try to overthrow a little bit and the ball flattens out, you know. And so, like I said, just learn from past experiences, you know, and grow as a pitcher, not just a thrower. So, you know, to hit your locations and, you know, mix up speeds a little bit better is the key.
Seems like you have a much better feel for those off-speed pitches. How much did you work on it in the offseason? What got to be where it was clicking for you, that you got the feel for it, that you could throw it at any time in the count?
I mean, I think it goes all back to confidence, to be honest with you. You know, obviously I did work a lot on that and trying to, you know, fine tune those pitches, you know, but just throwing them more and working in it, you know, on it in spring training and just kind of on any count and, you know, growing that confidence, you know, it doesn't really matter what, you know, what the count is.
What was it like to work with John Smoltz? I mean, tell us a little bit about him. I mean, how often did you get together with him? What were some of the things he was telling you?
I mean, that guy, it's a dream come true, to be honest with you. I mean, it's an honor to work with somebody like that. You know, Smoltz is just a great guy all around, you know, on and off the field. You know, obviously I grew up watching him, you know, being from Georgia and all. So to have that opportunity, you know, is something I definitely couldn't pass up. And, you know, he just kind of helped me with the off-speed as well. You know, a lot with mechanics and lower half and, you know, just going out there and getting the job done.
You seem like kind of a throwback guy to me. And when you think about the Braves staff, those guys were workhorses. I mean, they threw a lot. They threw a lot of innings. I mean, is that something that sticks in your mind, that you got to be a bulldog out there?
No doubt about it. You know, that's, like I said, that's the guys I grew up watching. You know, they're huge competitors and, like you said, a bulldog. So, you know, to see the accomplishments that they had in their careers, you know, it's remarkable. And like I said earlier, you know, it's just an honor to have an opportunity to work with somebody with that caliber.
How much does it help you that you have a one-year-old now that when you come home, I would think no matter what it is, what happened in the game, doesn't matter. You got this one-year-old, this daughter that just loves you no matter what, right?
You just said it, man. That is the biggest key, you know, is to realize that this game doesn't define you as a person, you know, and to go home to your family, whether you have a good or a bad outing, you know, it puts life in a different perspective, you know, and my wife and one-year-old, and they're there for me, you know. So it doesn't matter, you know, what I do out here. Obviously, I'm going to go out here and give it my best and try to win every game. But, you know, regardless, I have them to fall back on.
What do you think is clicking for this team now, too? It seems like Mack Williamson is giving this team a lift. Yeah, he's not a savior, but he came up. He was swinging the bat well, and he just seems to have pumped up everybody a little bit.
No doubt about it. You know, Mack's a big, big, strong kid, you know, and I think he's worked hard over the offseason with his new stance and stuff like that. But, you know, the confidence he's showing up at the plate is, you know, it just brings a threat throughout the whole lineup. You know, we got an unbelievable lineup, unbelievable squad. And, you know, everybody seems to be kicking in a little bit now and just getting the hang of things. And, you know, it's definitely tough on the opposing pitchers. You know, they can't take anybody lightly.
So you've been pretty busy lately. I would imagine you're off here on Wednesday. Are you disappointed you didn't get to face Bryce Harper again?
I mean, you know, it is what it is. I got to take each hitter, you know, for what it is. And, you know, I got to get them out no matter who I face. So, you know, I'm here today, and we're looking forward to winning this ball game no matter who's up in the box.
You're over that thing from last year, right?
No doubt about it. You know, this is a new year, you know, and you learn from your past and you move forward. You know, you can't reflect on the past. So, yeah, it's we're here to win today.
Like I said, you're doing a great job, Hunter. I saw you signing autographs there for the kids. You're doing everything right. I really appreciate you taking some time here, and good luck.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Giants closer Hunter Strickland. Coming up, we're going to hear from Giants pitching coach Kurt Young after this message. If you're thinking about a fun vacation, how about renting a houseboat on beautiful Shasta Lake? That's right. Just go to houseboats.com, where they offer houseboat vacations on Shasta Lake. They also rent cabins as well as wakeboard, day cruising, fishing, pontoon, and party boats. Food and beverage service, fueling, brand name clothing, souvenirs, and a grocery store are all available at their modern marinas. Jones Valley Resort and Silverthorn Resort are the premier boating destinations on Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. Now let's get to the conversation I had with Giants pitching coach Kurt Young. Well, Kurt, the pitching's really rolling along pretty well, you know, especially after you had the injuries at the beginning of the year. It had to be hard to sort of get everything established. But now that Samardzija's back in there and Cueto, how do you feel about the way things are going?
Well, you always like a consistent rotation. And, you know, with what went on in spring training, we kind of had a little setback in that department. And, you know, now we're hoping to get these five guys rolling that we have right now. And, you know, when you have that going with starters, your team knows what's coming every single day. They know what to expect from us. And, you know, the last week or so since Shark came back, we've kind of been in that situation.
Chris Stratton is throwing the ball great. I mean, it kind of started last year where he seemed to be just gaining confidence every start. That curveball seems to be getting sharper and sharper. What did you work on him with in spring training, and then what has played out for him?
Well, you're right. You know, he finished strong last year and came in. I think he felt like he had to earn a spot this spring training. I think that helped him. And, you know, threw very well in spring. And main thing for him is really just using both sides of the plate. You know, he's one of those guys that doesn't have the upper echelon velocity, but he's got great location, and he's become very good at pitching inside to both right and left, and I think that's helped.
How about in the bullpen? You know, Hunter Strickland ends up being the closer. You didn't know that that was going to happen when the season started, but right off the bat, he picked up a save opening day, and he's been pretty sharp. I mean, and there have been times where he's battled through a little bit. Just the other day, you know, he had a walk to the first batter. He went 3-0 on another guy, but he seems to figure out how to settle things down. How has that transpired?
Well, I just think he saw what went on in spring training, you know, with Mark going down and not being able to be there, and, you know, Strick with some experience now and definitely some success for him to get a shot at doing this. I think he's enjoying it, for one, and I think he knows we need him. And, you know, he's been solid right from the get-go, and he's got the stuff, and he's got a little different assortment of pitches that he can get himself out of jams if he needs to.
I was going to say, how important is that? I mean, you've worked with a lot of different pitchers. It's not always easy to add to that in the middle of your career, but it looks like he really made a concerted effort. I know he worked a little bit with John Smoltz, and all that seems to be paying off for him.
Yeah, just the feel of, you know, throwing a breaking ball for strikes whenever he needs it, and he's got his little split changeup that works to lefties. So, you know, no matter what, I think he understood he just truly can't be a fastball pitcher at this level. and he's brought these other pitches in to be a big part of his game.
Speaking of, throwing off hitters, seems to me like, you've got some lefties in there that can do that job. Tony Watson, he's been solid so far. So, what did you think about him being a newcomer this year and the way he's fit in?
Well, he loves baseball. He loves working, and he's going to fit good on any team that he was on, that he is on, both for Pittsburgh. I'm sure they'd tell you the same thing, how solid he is. Went to the Dodgers last year, same thing. And, right when he arrived in spring training, you could tell. Just one of those solid guys, personality-wise and as a pitcher. And those kind of things show up day after day, being a reliever when, things can go haywire at times. But when you're solid the way Tony is, he's going to be real consistent.
It's good to have some of those veteran guys you can lean on. What are you looking for from some of the younger guys as far as the consistency? Josh Osich, he had a really good spring training. He's been working on being more consistent. Derek Law bounced back and forth. He's in the minors now. But, how do you get those guys to be more consistent?
Well, they have to believe. And, all those guys, Josh and Reyes Maranta got a taste of it last year, and Gomez as well. And, once you get that taste of it, you see where you want to play baseball, and, you can kind of get used to these surroundings a little bit and believe that your game works. And those are the things that come into play. You learn that in the minor leagues. How good am I? You come up here and you find out, and then there's certain things that you have to do to be successful here. And I think all those guys understand that now. It truly comes down to location, making pitches, being able to do things when you're behind in the count. So those kind of things are starting to show up for the younger guys. And when they do those right, they're going to pitch well.
Yeah, Maranta's got a heck of an arm. We've seen him do that at the minor league level. He's really translating it now at the major league level.
Yeah, you grow. You grow. You're successful in A-ball, double-A, triple-A, and this is the last step. And like I say, you're excited to be on this team at the major league level. You don't want to go back to the bushes, and you find a way to get it done while you're here.
Finish up. This is your first year with the Giants. You've had a lot of experience, of course, across the bay with the Oakland A's. So what was it like for you to come over to San Francisco and, sort of get familiar with everything when you were in Scottsdale with the Giants and now into the first month of the season?
Yeah, I live there in Scottsdale, so I think, with the complex being in Scottsdale there, I was able to come out early quite a bit and get to know the training staff and the strength staff and some of the guys that lived in that area. So I think that really helped getting started with this season, just being familiar with everybody even before spring training started. So I think that was a huge help. And then once spring gets there, you know how to work the process to get guys ready for the season. And I think a lot of guys like the way we work things in spring training to get them ready to be open, ready for opening bell. So it's been a smooth process that way. Now it's about winning games.
And what about just getting to know the pitchers themselves? Especially the veteran guys who kind of have their own system. Is that more you getting used to what they do more than, them getting used to you?
Well, it's just a day-by-day thing. Matt and I are very good at communicating every day with these guys, making sure they're feeling good about their game and who needs rest, who doesn't need rest. And, you learn those things once you get into the season. And, we're real smart with the use that these guys are getting. Hopefully every time they come in the game, they're fresh.
All right, thanks a lot, Kurt. Really appreciate it, and good luck going on into this rest of the homestand here, this game against Washington, and then the Dodgers coming in.
You got it.
That's Giants pitching coach Kurt Young. Coming up, we're going to hear what Bruce Bochy had to say before the game. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Before the Giants took on the Washington Nationals on Wednesday afternoon at AT&T Park, Bruce Bochy was talking to the media. I had a chance to ask him a few questions. First, we were talking about the mound in the bullpen and how Mac Williamson almost hurt himself, seriously hurt himself, when he was chasing a fly ball on Tuesday against the Nationals. Here's what Bruce Bochy said about those bullpen mounds.
It's nice having the mounds there and close to the dugout, and the pitchers get to hang here, but, you know, it's dangerous. It is. The outfielder's running full speed, and, you know, he's got to keep watching the ball, trying to make a catch and hitting that mound, and it's not the first time we've seen someone go down, and so it is. It's a dangerous area. No getting around it, and you know, that's probably as bad as falls we've seen, you know, since I've been here.
Bochy also talked about Mac Williamson's new swing and how much of a challenge that was to implement that for 2018.
It's hard, but at the same time, you have the mindset that, you know, you need to make some changes, and you're willing to, you know, to be open-minded enough to make these changes. It's not as difficult as you think, really, you know, because he did a couple of things, lowered his hands, staying on the backside a little bit more, and this is allowing him to get on the plane of the pitch a little better. He just, you know, for a big, strong guy, he smothered the ball too much, and, you know, he wanted to get it more line drive in the air a little bit more, and so I don't think it's as difficult as you may think, but again, it takes hard work and dedication and the willingness to do this, because a lot of guys have the attitude, hey, this is what got me here, and I don't need to change. You know, I think Belt's tweaked his swing a little bit, and we're seeing it pay dividends.
That's Giants manager Bruce Bochy. I also had a chance to sit down with Kerry Crowley from the Bay Area News Group. He covers the Giants on a daily basis. Here was the conversation I had with Kerry. Well, Bruce Bochy is now on Twitter, so that means that we get to find out everything about the Giants skipper. I don't know. He seems really new to it, Kerry, so... do you think he's going to be tweeting a lot?
Oh, yeah. He says he's going to be breaking news so that reporters can't. He says he's going to be offering the fans inside looks. No, I don't think Bruce Bochy's going to be on there too often. He said today he'll be on there to promote charity work and other things like that. But don't expect too many lineup decisions and calling out fans on Twitter.
I'm sure Bruce Bochy was... he was holding his breath, and he probably was ready to tweet how scared he was that Mac Williamson went flying over the bullpen mound out there. And seriously, I mean, that could have been trouble, because Mac Williamson has given this team such a boost. And see him go flying, fortunately he's okay, and he's in the lineup today for this game against the Nationals. But just what are your thoughts about Williamson since he joined the team? He said he wasn't going to be a savior, but he sure has sort of saved them the last week or so here.
You know, everyone wants to point to Williamson's new swing, and it has surely impacted the way he feels at the plate right now. But I think what's changed most about Mac is his outlook on the game of baseball right now. He's extremely confident, and he goes up to the plate thinking that he's going to get a hit. And I'm not so sure that that was the case in 2015, 2016, and 2017. I think that he wanted so badly to get a hit and wanted so badly to prove himself that that got in the way. And you see when guys press like Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutchen did at the beginning of the season, you're not the same hitter. And Williamson wasn't the same guy that he was at AAA. And right now, he is the same guy. He's got the new swing, but right now, he's got a newfound sense of confidence, and it's provided such a jolt to this Giants team.
Do you think his attitude really helps him too? Because I know when he was sent down to AAA, even though he had a great spring training, you know, he kind of understood. He knew that he didn't produce at this level last year. He needed to keep doing what he was doing. Some guys just don't have that good of an attitude, and it seems like he does have that good attitude.
Yeah, I mean, his outlook was very business-like. After he got cut in spring training, he hit the cover off the ball down there in the Cactus League, hit a home run over the batter's eye in Tempe against the Angels on a cold, dreary day that was really reminiscent of the 464-foot shot he hit to right center field the other night at AT&T Park. He was matter-of-fact about it. He said, look, I'll go down, I'll produce, I'll keep playing the way I am, and I'll force my way into the conversation. And on April 20th, the Giants had no other choice but to bring Williamson up. This lineup needed a power hitter. It needed a guy from the right-handed batter's box to do some damage. With Hunter Pence headed to the disabled list, Mac Williamson has been everything the Giants wanted him to be and more in his first week back in the big leagues.
Should be interesting when Hunter Pence does come back, because Bruce Bochy has said he still wants to play him. So then what happens? I mean, I would guess that McCutchen goes to center. Either Williamson or Pence goes to right or left. I mean, they're going to have to figure all that out.
Yeah, they're really going to have tough decisions to make. And the decisions could be even tougher if Steven Duggar continues to produce at AAA. He's putting together good at-bats, and he nearly made this team out of spring training. It was Duggar, Gregor Blanco, and Gorkys Hernandez. And now all of a sudden, it's hard to see both Blanco and Hernandez weathering the storm during the first half of the season staying on this roster. I don't think that their jobs are safe by any means, regardless of how well they produce, because you've got Hunter Pence coming back. Williamson's bat needs to be in the lineup on a consistent basis, and if Duggar produces at AAA and they want him in center field, then you need McCutchen in right, Duggar in center, and the Giants could have a very good problem on their hands come May and June.
Yeah, plus Austin Slater's been tearing it up in the Pacific Coast League, so who would have thought that the Giants would have an abundance of outfielders? You never would have guessed that going back to last year.
Well, and homegrown outfielders. I mean, it's been since 1986 that this team has produced a homegrown outfielder who's become an all-star, and that was Chili Davis. Last year, Jarrett Parker was the first homegrown outfielder to start on opening day since John Bowker in 2010. I mean, it just doesn't happen, and now you've got Williamson, Duggar, Slater, Chris Shaw coming through the system, and the savior at the end of it all, Elliot Ramos, who's down in single A Augusta, who's, you know, going to be that guy eventually. And so the Giants all of a sudden have a much more positive outlook in the outfield, and things are kind of shaping up well for this squad.
All right, Brandon Belt is the other hot hitter. He really has helped the Giants win lately to win two consecutive series. And it's funny because he was just getting criticism about taking some strike three called. I know some reporters were starting to ask him about that. There was a story written about it, and boom, he just starts to hit these home runs now. What do you think got to him that he got locked in like this?
Well, I think that Brandon Belt is locked in because, as Bruce Bochy mentioned today, he's got a shorter, quicker approach to the baseball right now, and he's not afraid to wield that when a pitch is in the strike zone. I mean, he's never a guy who's going to chase. He's not going to go outside the zone. He knows the strike zone practically as well as any hitter save for Joey Votto of the Cincinnati Reds. And so when Belt is throwing a pitch middle in, he pulls it to right field. When he's throwing a pitch away, he's not afraid to go to left field. And right now, you can't fool him. You can't miss with a breaking ball. You can't throw a fastball that's in the strike zone because he's just in the zone. He's a hot hitter right now, and that's why he's hitting fifth today.
You were there for the 12-minute, 45-second at-bat, 21 pitches. You know, I watched it a couple times, actually, on television. I'm kind of crazy that way. I really enjoyed it. It was just fun to watch him foul off one pitch after another. The pitcher never got tired. He seemed to get a little tired maybe at the end. He kind of was laughing about it. What was your reaction to it as it was going on? I mean, I guess at first you don't realize it's going to be that long when it's maybe 9 or 10. But when it goes on and on like that, it had to be pretty interesting.
You know what was most fascinating to me is it's a 21-year-old pitcher making his second big league start, and he's throwing strike after strike. I mean, after the ninth pitch of the at-bat, 10 of the 11 pitches that were to come next, or 11 of the 12 pitches, were in the strike zone, or Belt should have protected on them. He wasn't chasing anything. These were fastballs. These were sliders. These were changeups. And Belt was going after him to protect and get himself in a position to hit. And ultimately, he flew out to right field. But he set himself up for later in the ball game to know what kind of pitches were going to come. And he really wore down that Angels pitching staff that day. And I think you can point to that at bat as a turning point for the Giants offense that day. They only ended up scoring four runs, but it was enough to defeat the Angels on a day where, you know, Mike Trout's in the lineup, Justin Upton's in the lineup, Shohei Ohtani's playing, and they had Johnny Cueto going, and that was really critical to have success on that day after Brandon Belt's at bat.
Well, I think the starter, he threw like 49 pitches in the first thing. Didn't give up a run, though.
Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy aspect of it. Had the bases loaded and just one out. He escapes the jam, but by the third inning, Mike Socha had to get him out of there because he just couldn't continue laboring like he was against the Giants. And it was interesting. I thought that as a rookie starter, he maybe threw too many strikes, and that's what Andrew Suarez said he was guilty of when he first came up with the Giants and faced the Diamondbacks.
I think they should make T-shirts that say "Chicks dig the foul ball" instead of the long ball after that at bat.
Oh my gosh, Brandon Belt would surely support that one.
Yeah, why not? Speaking of guys who throw too many strikes, Jeff Samardzija was a little bit criticized for that last year. He had the great strikeout to walk total, but I don't know. Maybe he's a little bit changed this year. That first outing was terrific. We're going to see him today. Where does he factor in as far as the importance level of having a good season on the mound? Because, you know, the Giants pitching has definitely stepped it up lately.
Well, until they get Madison Bumgarner back, Jeff Samardzija has to be the $90 million guy that they paid him to be. And Chris Stratton is emerging. He's done a really good job, never allowed more than three earned runs in a start since taking over in the rotation last August, and Stratton could really morph into that number three guy. But as long as Bumgarner's out of the rotation, Samardzija needs to be that durable 6-7 inning guy that gets through this lineup. And so he's facing the Nationals today. I didn't think he had excellent command against the Angels, probably got away with a few fastballs up in the zone, but if he can just navigate and get his way through 6-7 innings, turn it over to the bullpen every time out, then the Giants are in good shape, because they don't want to be testing a bullpen that maybe isn't as deep as they thought it was coming out of spring training.
The bullpen actually lately has done a pretty good job, right? I mean, early on it looked a little shaky, and you wondered about Hunter Strickland closing out games without Melanson, but now Strickland is stepping up, and even when he's getting into trouble, he doesn't seem to fret about it. The other day I was noting that he had the walk, he had a 3-0 count after that, and he just rebounded and just, you know, okay, I'm going to come in and I'm going to throw strikes, and even his breaking ball, he's throwing for strikes.
When he trusts in his stuff, I mean, when you've got a 97-mile-an-hour fastball and a sharp slider like he does, there's no reason not to. But what I want to see from Hunter Strickland, it's been interesting. The last 3 days, his saves have come against the bottom of orders, and so I want to see him go through the heart of a lineup and try to carve up maybe Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, and Yasiel Puig this weekend when the Dodgers are in town to see how he fares, because he struggled against the Diamondbacks, against Paul Goldschmidt, blew two saves in a row when he was in the order. What can Strickland do to neutralize cleanup hitters, to neutralize on-base machines? Can he roll a double play when necessary? Can he go on back-to-back days and, you know, face hitters multiple times that are going to challenge him? And he proved a little bit of that against the Washington Nationals in these last 2 days, but again, it was against the bottom of the order.
Are you disappointed he didn't face Bryce Harper?
Oh, a little bit. I mean, I think everyone wants to see that and see, really, because I believe that Hunter Strickland has really matured as a pitcher and he's got more trust in his stuff, so I think we want to see that matchup.
Yeah, that would have been pretty interesting. We didn't end up seeing that. Okay, the Giants and the Dodgers coming up this weekend. You know, a lot of games against the Dodgers early in the season. Giants have, you know, kind of been hanging in there. You wondered if they were going to just fall to pieces with the schedule being what it was. I mean, playing in Anaheim and winning that series really seemed to give them a boost. But this series against the Dodgers, you know, I know it's still early, but how important is it to try to at least try to get a split out of those four games?
Well, at least right now, you're not going to face Clayton Kershaw, and you don't have Justin Turner in the lineup for the Dodgers. So I think winning two is the absolute minimum for the Giants. They need to get greedy and win three. When you've got Johnny Cueto and Chris Stratton both lined up to pitch in that series, when you've got Ty Block, who owns the Dodgers, and you're not facing Kershaw, three games at home is pretty pivotal to me. If this team is serious about being in a race, they need to take advantage of the Dodgers when they're weak, because as everyone knows, this team is built. The Dodgers are going to contend into July, into August, and probably September as well. So take advantage of them when you can. 10th game of the season against them coming up on Sunday, and the Giants have a prime opportunity. Let's see how they do.
To finish up, let's talk about you, because you were working at KNBR.com for a while there, and now you're with the Bay Area News Group. How much are you enjoying it? How about the transition to, you know, covering the Giants every day as a writer?
I mean, it gives you such an advantage to be around the team every day, to know what's going on. It really adds depth to your writing, and I've been fortunate. You know, not everyone gets to go on the road and see these different cities and see how the team reacts playing in different ballparks, sees all the pitchers in the National League and the different lineups, and so it's really a front row seat to the best in baseball, and I've had it every night, and, you know, it's an opportunity that I love taking advantage of.
And you grew up here. I know you went to SI, and, you know, you're San Francisco guy, so it must be fun to cover the Giants, a team that you saw a whole lot of growing up.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other place in the world that I'd rather live, and, you know, we all love to talk about the housing prices in San Francisco, how unaffordable the Bay Area is as a market, but as long as I can keep doing what I'm doing and just scrape by, I'm happy to do it, because this really is the greatest place in the world.
All right, Kerry, hey, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it, and good luck covering the Giants. Enjoy the nice weather here today.
Thanks, Joe.
That's Kerry Crowley, the beat reporter for the Bay Area News Group covering the San Francisco Giants. That's going to do it for now. I want to thank our guests today, Kurt Young, the pitching coach, Giants closer Hunter Strickland, Kerry Crowley, and glad that we got to hear from Bruce Bochy as well. Join us again later on this week and over the weekend, the Giants playing a four-game series with the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll talk about that with our regular guest, Ray Woodson, later on this week. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.